The song about life, death, love, hate, wealth, poverty, racism. Just a few things been running through my head.
Listen! We call on you! Listen! Now we call on you!
Hear us now.
Uptown, the DJ player.
Change, you know. revolution.
It changed, you know.
The record ends and we must begin again.
KillRadio.org. KillRadio.org. Someone told me not to say KillRadio.org because it sounds like I'm saying KillRadio.org. Which I don't have any problem with orgies, depending on what kind they are. There's so many, that really, when you think about it, that could refer to. So you're listening to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. And today I wanted to just start off in the introduction with that there really isn't anything more for us to know. In fact, it seems that there is more for us to simply release of believing in or holding on to. So what I have found is when we gain any sort of enlightenment, whether it's be like, oh yeah, that makes sense, or whatever, it makes sense because in the back of our mind it is familiar. We have thought about it. Somehow it has been toyed with or entertained, albeit briefly or not, it doesn't matter. So it seems that we know all that we need to know. We just get to practice knowing it. And we live in a world that right now believes collectively and perpetuates collectively many of these things that aren't true. Things like us ultimately being separate from one another. There's no belief in unity of any kind. There's also very much a primitive belief about my God versus your God. And you can see how that's kind of made the world look a certain way right now. So it comes to the point, comes to the ultimate understanding that if something were to be really true, it would have to be for the goodness of all, rather than being for only the goodness of a few. Because the world, if you look at the natural world, nature, this planet, it doesn't play favorites. It gives all to all. And so why should then life be conditional in any other way? We all have more than enough air to breathe. And ultimately, we really do have all enough food to eat, whether or not we seem to be knowing that. See, it's interesting how there's many aspects of nature that we have to kind of look right at beyond our human interaction with them, because that's what seems to be affecting our understanding of it. So as we begin today's show, just know that there is not really more to know. There is more to unlearn. There is more to leave behind. So you're listening to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. We'll be finishing up talking about relationships today. And I'll be sharing from the book Conversations with God, Book 1. Very great chapter on relationships in that. And I'll kind of recap some of it and then go forward with it. And some of you might have seen the preview or read the reviews for the movie version that came out. And I would not want to be a reviewer of that movie if I didn't know anything about, if I was looking at it from, you know, the point of view of the old God, of the incomplete God, or of the whatever. I think you know what I mean. So I think that's why some of the reviews have been very interesting, to put it nicely. So later on the show today, music-wise, we're going to listen to Guido Schneider, Tweet, along with Miss Elliott, Malcolm McLaren, Bjork, Manu Chao, and Bent, of course. And I want to thank you very much for joining. And also, of course, at the end of today's show, we will have a meditation to really solidify all of this. You're listening to killradio.org. Close your eyes. Close Your Eyes, killradio.org. That was a artist by the name of Guido Schneider, a song called Las Cuerdas de las Canarias. And then before that, we heard a song called Reg, and an artist by the name of, I'm just going to go for it, Ame. Three letters, A-M-E, and then there's a weird, like, bracket kind of symbol pointing up above the A. That's what I love about electronica music is so much of it includes songs and or artists' names that are difficult to understand in how to pronounce. So welcome. So let's just know today that there is something, some old belief, perhaps even more than one, that we've been holding on to, that we now get to let go of. So we get to let it go. So we get to unlearn some of the silly propaganda that we've been holding on to. It might be about relationships, since today's show is about relationships. It might be about ourselves, some false idea that we've been thinking is true and acting accordingly. And I just say, once we accept that, it has nothing to do with whatever comes out of my mouth or anything. It might be just one word that kind of sparks an idea in you that causes you to wake up to a new way of thinking about yourself, this world, relationships, whatever. And as I begin, let me just do a preemptive apology. I'm getting over a cold. I'm kind of congested. I'm coughing. I'm sneezing. All that kind of. I feel great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel great. But I'm not up to speaking. My voice for radio today is a little challenge. Let's just put it that way. So be gentle. So throughout this whole month, I've been really sharing from, mostly from, Conversations with God, Book 1, by Neil Donald Walsh, and talking about relationships. And I think right now what I'll do is I'll just go forward and I'll recap some of the stuff we've talked about in the past again. I'll come back to that. So I'm just going to jump to this one part. It's really talking about the reason we get into relationships. And the divine says, first, make sure you get into a relationship for the right reasons. And then he says in parentheses, I'm using the word right here as a relative term. I mean right relative to the larger purpose you hold in your life. As I have indicated before, most people still enter into relationships for the wrong reasons. To end loneliness, fill a gap, bring themselves love, or someone to love. And those are some of the better reasons. Others do so to solve their ego, end their depressions, improve their sex life, recover from a previous relationship, or believe it or not, to relieve boredom. None of these reasons will work. And unless something dramatic changes along the way, neither will the relationship. And the author says, I didn't enter into my relationships for any of those reasons. I would challenge that. I don't think you know why you entered your relationships. I don't think you thought about it in this way. I don't think you entered your relationships purposefully. I think you entered into your relationships because you, quote, fell in love. Well, that's exactly right. And I don't think you stopped to look at why you fell in love. What was it to which you were responding? What need or set of needs was being fulfilled? For most people, love is a response to need fulfillment. So let's go over that. It's interesting because I think if we look at what is the thought behind the thought or the reason behind the response. See, we can we can think of something kind of intellectually and then have an emotional trigger from that. So falling in love, quote unquote, could be based upon oh, this will end my loneliness. That could be the subconscious thought or feeling. Filling a gap in one's life, bringing themselves love or someone to love. Or it could be other things like, oh, this will end my depression. Or this will improve my sex life. Either way. Or this will help me get over what's his name or what's her name. Now, all these, I am going to say is none of these things are really kind of thought out like we're talking about them right now. It's not like we go, oh, I'm falling in love right now because this is actually ending my loneliness. So much of our thinking is based on feeling. It is the feeling that is kind of communicated or expressed really quickly. And so it isn't that we're constantly thinking these word-based or intellectual-based thoughts. So much of our thinking is feeling-based, is emotion-based. So it takes a level of courage and honesty to kind of look at, well, gosh, what are the reasons or what have been the reasons in the past in my relationships that were behind me entering into them? And that's why I think the divine answers, when Neil Donald Walsh says, I didn't enter any of my relationships for any of these reasons, the divine says, I don't think you know why you entered your relationships. I don't think you thought about it in this way. I don't think you entered your relationships purposefully. So when the fall in love feeling comes in, which could be triggered in a number of ways, then we are moving away from perhaps what's really going on. So it's a good thing to kind of remember as we go forward, whether with our current romantic relationships, whether it be our spouse or our boyfriend or girlfriend, or perhaps we're single, and it is relationships that we enter into as we date and come to know one another. So going back is, the divine says, I don't think you stopped to look at why you fell in love. What was it to which you were responding? What need or set of needs was being fulfilled? For most people, love is a response to need fulfillment. Everyone has needs. You need this. Another needs that. You both see in each other a chance for need fulfillment. So you agree tacitly to a trade. I'll trade you what I've got if you'll give me what you got. It's a transaction, but you don't tell the truth about it. You don't say, I trade you very much. You say, I love you very much. And then the disappointment begins. So it's almost like, okay, I get you, you get me. It almost is like, I'm going to negotiate this. I will express this and give you this as long as you give this to me. Now, again, none of this is done out in the open. None of this is done, you know, like we sit down and talk about it. It just kind of is understood. And when two people are playing a game that way, then, of course, it's just going to perpetuate and go forward the game without going, hey, what's really going on here? So that is something for all of us to remember. And this isn't just about romantic relationships. This is also about friendships. This is about our relationships with our family, the people we meet. Every single one, you can see how this would play into that. That oftentimes we are playing this game of I get you and you get me. This is what you get from me as long as I get this from you. And as long as that's balanced and okay, then everything goes forward accordingly. When we come back, we'll continue this. You're listening to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. That's my favorite part of the whole song, that last part. I'd impersonate it right now, but I don't have the energy. Normally I would. That was, of course, Malcolm McLaren with Buffalo Gals. Before that, we heard Tweet and Miss Elliott together with the song Oops Oh My. And we're talking about... excuse me. Goodness. I keep pulling the mic away so I may cough. We've been talking about entering relationships for the right reasons and the challenge and the honesty of doing that, because it's so easy for us, I guess based on where we're at in our own kind of mental or spiritual evolution, is to just go into them based on the feeling of falling in love rather than looking at what is behind this feeling. And as we continue, I'm going to jump ahead, but the author says, Neil Donald Walsh says, in Conversations with God, he says, you take a lot of the romance out of it when I ask you about relationships. What's wrong with falling head over heels in love without having to think about it? And the divine response, nothing. Fall in love with as many people as you like that way. But if you're going to form a lifelong relationship with them, you may want to add a little thought. On the other hand, if you enjoy going through relationships like water, or worse yet, staying in one because you think you have to, then living a life of quiet desperation. If you enjoy repeating these patterns from your past, keep going on doing what you've been doing. And the author goes, okay, I get it. Boy, you're relentless, aren't you? The response from the divine, that's the problem with truth. The truth is relentless. It won't leave you alone. It keeps creeping up on you from every side, showing you what's really so. That can be annoying. So I want to find the tools for a long-term relationship. And you say entering relationships purposefully is one of them. The response from the divine, yes, be sure you and your mate agree on purpose. If you both agree at a conscious level that the purpose of your relationship is to create an opportunity, not an obligation, an opportunity for growth, for full self-expression, for lifting your lives to their highest potential, for healing every false thought or small idea you ever had about you, and for the ultimate reunion with God through the communion of your two souls. If you take that vow instead of the vows you've been taking, the relationship has begun on a very good note. It's gotten off on the right foot. That's a very good beginning. And again, this sounds so intellectual. But the problem is, right now, I would say, as a people, we're not all that well-trained, myself included, in that level of honesty. I would say we live in a very dishonest culture. We aren't able to speak freely in this world because we might offend someone. But how can I offend anyone? How can I offend someone unless I say something that they are willing to hold as true? If I know who I am, then nothing can be said to me or about me that would offend me, because I know who I am. You know, if a kid comes up to me and says, well, you're a poo-poo butthead, I'm really not going to be offended. And if a dog comes up to me and says, you know, you're a self-centered little prick, I might be offended. But see, there's really no difference between those two things. That is just a simple, small example about how dishonesty or withholding truth seems to be a practice of ours in our culture. And so the opportunity is to take responsibility for our feelings, to practice knowing who we are, so that when these kind of situations come up, we don't get caught up in them. We don't get lost in the lies that people love to perpetuate about someone else. I mean, ultimately, if I went up to you, whoever you are, and I said, you're a jerk, that has all to do with me rather than have anything to do with you. Because number one, truly, I mean, this is really going to sound funny, but it's a spiritual truth. It takes one to know one. How would I know what a jerk looks like unless there's some sort of jerkiness within my own consciousness, in my own experience? Just like anything else. Oh, you're jealous. Well, how do I know what jealousy is unless it's part of my own experience as well? There's a statement you always see. When you hear people talk, you see consciousness revealing itself. I one time reminded someone of something mean that they had said, and they said, I didn't say that. And they said that they did not say that. And I said, well, you did. And the next thing they said is, well, are you calling me a liar? And I wasn't thinking about lying at all. It has nothing to do with lying. It just says that's the truth, though, as I see it. So it's consciousness revealing itself. So the whole point with all of this is in our relationships as well. Really the opportunity, if we want them to be empowered and empowering, is they are an opportunity to create a deeper level or a higher level of truth. And that has always been my challenge in relationships. There's a level of honesty that has to happen for a relationship to be successful. Withholding truth, not saying something, is lying. Even if it has nothing to do with the other person. That other person in the relationship is there to support you. Just like it said in what the divine answers back. Be sure you and your mate agree on purpose. If you both agree at a conscious level that the purpose of your relationship is to create an opportunity for growth, for full self-expression, for lifting your lives to their highest potential, for healing every false thought or small idea you ever had about you, and for ultimate reunion with God through the community of two souls. If you take that vow, the relationship has begun on a very good note. So that is where it almost gets to be relationships for them to be really empowered, empowering, and their ultimate holy purpose is they become a safe environment, almost a safe laboratory for us to get over those deep misunderstandings, those deep false beliefs that we've been holding on to that we now get to release. And I've had wonderful breakthroughs in my relationships when that level of honesty... See, even saying that level of honesty, it's just total, like, excuse my language, I'm going to just say it. It's total bullshit, because that level, I mean, honesty is just honesty. But we have nickel and dimed honesty in our culture. There's various degrees. And so you hear people say, oh, well, to be honest, well, honestly, I mean, that's, what? Why would you say that unless you've been lying or unless you've been withholding truth? It drives me crazy. So, relationships get to be the perfect opportunity for growth, for full self-expression, for lifting our lives to their highest potential, and for healing every false thought or small idea any of us have ever had about ourselves. And then also, they are ultimately the reunion with the divine through the communion of our two souls. So that's holy work. It isn't just about all the other gobbledygook, like, I get you, get me. That's looking at it from a very primitive, almost in using the term in a disparaging way, forgive me, but it's very childlike, like, oh, well, I'll just get that. It's like, I do you, you do me. It's kind of a weird connotative way to put it, but you know what I mean. So that is ultimately the opportunity, is to create honesty, true honesty, in all ways. And that also with that, we take responsibility for whatever experience that we're experiencing, whatever feeling that we're feeling. Because oftentimes, something will be triggered within the relationship that has nothing to do with the other person. It has all to do with some old gobbledygook that we have to heal and release. And so, see, it comes back to what we talked about in the introduction. Life is about unlearning so much. And that is perhaps where relationships become so challenging. It's because they force us to unlearn, to purge this old crap, if you will, in order to move forward. Close your eyes. KillRadio.org. That was Bjork with the Kronos Quartet, a song called Possibly Maybe. Before that, we heard from the soundtrack Requiem for a Dream, titled Cleaning Apartment. I'm going to use it as a reminder. And we are back. I love that I got to talk about honesty today. And I love I got to talk about how in my relationships, anything that I've loved about the relationships that I've been in, especially, is that safe place for honesty that comes. And not to say that that whole experience is a, you know, cakewalk. I can think of some bumpy rides when it took to get to that place, to open it up. I feel like your chest was being ripped apart. Thank you very much. But that is ultimately the opportunity, is to allow a fuller sense of honesty. God, I hate even saying that way. See, I'm a part of the problem. I perpetuate the problem by having gradations of honesty that way. Relationships allow us to be truly honest. I think that's a fair way to say it right now in relation to what I've been talking about. And so after the divine said all the purposes of relationships, and I'll say it again, if you both agree at a conscious level that the purpose of your relationship is to create an opportunity, not an obligation, an opportunity for growth, for full self-expression, for lifting your lives to their highest potential, for healing every false thought or small idea you ever had about you, and for ultimate reunion with God through the communion of your two souls, if you take that vow instead of the vows you've been taking, the relationship has begun on a very good note. It's gotten off on the right foot. That's a very good beginning. And then Neil Donald Walsh answers, still, it's no guarantee of success. The divine responds, if you want guarantees in life, then you don't want life. You want rehearsals for a script that's already been written. Life by its nature cannot have guarantees, or its whole purpose is thwarted. In fact, I would add to that, not that the divine needs me anything to, but to kind of look at it another way. To have guarantees in life would take away the freedom of life. We have freedom, more so than we realize, to express ourselves in whatever way we choose. If life was filled with guarantees, then it would have to be limited. The divine continues, know and understand that there will be challenges and difficult times in your relationships. Don't try to avoid them. Welcome them gratefully. See them as grand gifts from God, glorious opportunities to do what you came into the relationship and life to do. Try very hard not to see your partner as the enemy or the opposition during these times. In fact, seek to see no one and nothing as the enemy or even the problem. Cultivate the technique of seeing all problems as opportunities. Opportunities to, and then Neil Donald Walsh interrupts, I know, be and decide who you really are. So relationships are opportunities. These challenges we have in relationships are opportunities to be and decide who each of us really is. And so when we react from defensiveness or from hurt, is that who we really are? No, it isn't. But how else can we come to know that except by going through that experience and going, wow, this isn't really who I am. And then allowing that idea to come forth. But Neil Donald Walsh says, sounds like a pretty dull life to me. At least this is what he said 10 years ago. He's not in the same place now. So I don't think he's still this kind of smarmy ass. In this book, he's such a smarmy ass sometimes. It's, I mean, as we are, I some of the responses he have are akin to what I probably would respond. So he says, sounds like a pretty dull life to me. And the divine responds, then you're setting your sights too low. Broaden the scope of your horizons. Extend the depth of your vision. See more in you than you think there is to be seen. See more in your partner, too. You will never disserve your relationship, nor anyone, by seeing more in another than they are showing you. For there is more there, much more. It is only their fear that stops them from showing you. If others notice that you see them as more, they will feel safe to show you what you obviously already see. And that is what is, that is related to the whole thing about creating that safe space of honesty, of true honesty. We open ourselves up to total freedom. We're not holding ourselves back. We're not resisting anything. We're not hesitating in any way. But we are free to express ourselves knowing that we are fine. It's almost as if in relationships we're on a tightrope and we'll do all the backflips and all the crazy acrobatic moves because we know there's a safety net. We know that we are supported. We know that we are not going to truly fall. And that is where our relationships get to go, is that level of safety, of comfort, of honesty. Doesn't mean that there's still not going to be challenges, but like he said, when the challenges come, it doesn't turn into war. It turns into, okay, well, let's fix this for the betterment of us all. And praise the Lord. I've been saying that so much lately. Praise the Lord. I know that experience. If anything I've done right in relationships is I've been good at creating that. Thank you very much. So then Neil Donald Walsh says, people tend to live up to our expectations of them. The divine continues, I don't like the word expectations here. Expectations ruin relationships. Let's say that people tend to see in themselves what we see in them. The grander our vision, the grander their willingness to access and display the part of them we have shown them. Isn't that how all truly blessed relationships work? Isn't that part of the healing process, the process by which we give people permission to let go of every false thought they've ever had about themselves? Yes, is the response. And that is the work of God. The work of the soul is to wake yourself up. The work of God is to wake everybody else up. And Neil Donald Walsh responds, we do this by seeing others as who they are, by reminding them of who they are. The divine continuing, this you can do in two ways, by reminding them of who they are, very difficult because they will not believe you, and by remembering who you are, much easier because you do not need their belief, only your own. Demonstrating this constantly ultimately reminds others of who they are, for they will see themselves in you. Many masters have been sent to the earth to demonstrate eternal truth. Others, such as John the Baptist, have been sent as messengers, telling of the truth in glowing terms, speaking of God with unmistakable clarity. These special messengers have been gifted with extraordinary insight and the very special power to see and receive eternal truth, plus the ability to communicate complex concepts in ways that can and will be understood by the masses. So let's go back to that, because there was a lot there. So we can remind people of who they are by telling them, basically, which is an intellectual way. And then, or we can just... do this in remembering who you are, who each of us is, which is easier because it's only our own belief. So by remembering who we are more than this moment, all others are also uplifted. So we don't get caught up in people's bulk pucky. we get we come from a place of empowerment and empowering, then we allow others that same freedom. We remember who we are and allows others to awaken as well. Now, not from an arrogance place like, oh, well, I'm so great and you should know this, blah, blah, blah. No, just by being who we are, remembering who we are in the face of whatever challenge, we do not forget who we are. This, for all those who witness that, becomes a reminder, a wake-up, an opportunity for all of us to renew. Wow. I almost choked on my words. Boy. It's like my mechanics aren't working. That was... We just heard After All the Love by Bent. Before that, we heard Noir Désir and Manu Chao with Le Vent Noir. But I don't speak French. I'm sorry. Song by Noir Désir and Manu Chao. And I guess since this is internet radio, I can get away with not having to pronounce their names right. So with this remaining time we have, more or less a half hour, I'd love to, before we go into the meditation, I'd love to just recap this chapter. And again, I've been sharing from the book Conversations with God, book one. It's actually into a movie right now. I haven't seen it. It's probably not a movie for the masses, but it's truly an interesting story, as is the book for that matter. So one of the first things in this chapter, one of the first concepts we really look at is the purpose of a relationship is to decide what part of yourself you'd like to see show up, not what part of another you can capture and hold. So again, it's about each relationship, whether it be a romantic one, family, friends, whatever. What is it that we're willing to see show up? Or what is next that we're willing to see show up? Rather than what is it that we can get from someone else? Goes on to continue, there can only be one purpose for relationships and for all of life, to be and to decide who you really are. It is very romantic to say that you were nothing until that special other came along, but it is not true. Worse, it puts an incredible pressure on the other to be all sorts of things he or she is not. The other big interesting thing about relationships that we have to understand is it is very romantic to say that now that your special other has entered your life, you feel complete. Yet the purpose of relationships is to not have another who might complete you, but to have another with whom you might share your completeness. So it is not like, oh, now I'm complete. Without you, I am, you know, just 25% of a human being. Or I am just 25% of perfect or happy. Again, that puts such a burden on the other person. And it's ultimately not true. It's a lie, and it's unfair. But continuing that, there's this paradox that the divine expresses. And there are these paradoxes in life because we are spiritual beings first and foremost, but we're having this human experience. And along with that humanity, there is sometimes these paradoxes because of the coupling of the two. Here's the paradox of all human relationships. You have no need for a particular other in order for you to experience fully who you are. And without another, you are nothing. This is both the mystery and the wonder, the frustration and the joy of the human experience. It requires deep understanding and total willingness to live within this paradox in a way which makes sense. I observe that very few people do. Most of you enter your relationship forming years ripe with anticipation, full of sexual energy, a wide open heart, and a joyful, if eager, soul. And then somewhere between 40 years old and 60, and for most it is sooner rather than later, you've given up on your grandest dream, set aside your highest hope, and settled for your lowest expectation, or nothing at all. The problem is so basic, so simple, and yet so tragically misunderstood. Your grandest dream, your highest idea, and your fondest hope has had to do with your beloved other rather than your beloved self. The test of your relationship has had to do with how well the other lived up to your ideas and how well you saw yourself living up to his or hers, yet the only true test has to do with how well you live up to yours. Relationships are sacred because they provide life's grandest opportunity. Indeed, its only opportunity to create and produce the experience of your highest conceptualization of self. Relationships fail when you see them as life's grandest opportunity to create and produce the experience of your highest conceptualization of another. So that's an important point, because ultimately all of this is about one's own conceptualization. That statement that we used here all the time, who do you think you are? Said it, of course, in a very incredulous way. Who do you think you are? It's actually a very spiritual statement. We're all operating from who we think we are individually right now. That's where we're expressing from, our own self-conceptualization. It's not based on facts. It is based on a lot of lies. It is based on a lot of bull that we have been conditioned to believe through no fault of our own, through no fault of anyone's, but we are basically a product of our society's current collective level of understanding. So let each person in relationship worry about self, what self is being, doing, having, what self is wanting, asking, giving, what self is seeking, creating, experiencing, and all relationships would magnificently serve their purpose and their participants. Let each person in relationship worry not about the other, but only about self. And the divine is using the term self with a capital S here, meaning the higher self, meaning the ultimate expression of our being. Beyond all these lies and misunderstandings and conditionings that we're all kind of playing with, the true self. So when we come from this place of being responsible to the self, then we ultimately are responsible to one another. It makes sense when you look at it this way. If I am only looking out for you, regardless of my own feelings or wants or desires, that isn't going to last long. That's going to get old real quick, unless I'm a total weirdo and I just love that, and there's people who are like that. But ultimately, how can I be responsible to you if I'm in a relationship with you, whether it be a friendship or romantic? How can I be responsible in my relationship to you if I'm not being responsible to myself? This doesn't mean now I have to be all about responsibility and all that unfun stuff. But how else am I going to unfold? How else am I going to renew? How else am I going to be responsible to you if the whole time I'm really caring about you, I'm boiling inside? But you're great. And then you wonder, like, what's wrong with him? I'm happy. He's been so great to me, and he's not happy. I had to sneeze. Thank God I had some time to see it coming. Dear me. I guess I could be professional and not mention that to you. You don't need to know. You're not on a need-to-know basis, are you? All right, so that is some of what we talked about in the weeks prior. Let's see if there's anything else that before I go. Oh, yes. Relate to what I just said. People think, if I can just love others, they will love me. Then I will be lovable, and I can love me. The reverse of this is that so many people hate themselves because they feel there is not another who loves them. This is a sickness. It's when people are truly lovesick, because the truth is, other people do love them, but it doesn't matter. No matter how many times people profess their love for them, it is not enough. They won't believe you. They think you're trying to manipulate them, trying to get something, etc., etc. So this losing of the self in a relationship is what causes most of the bitterness in such couplings. Two people join together in a partnership, hoping that the whole will be greater than the sum of the parts, only to find that it's less. One last thing. When you lose sight of each other as sacred souls on a sacred journey, then you cannot see the purpose, the reason, behind all relationships. You must see the other. You must see yourself as worthy before you can see another as worthy. You must see You must first see yourself as worthy before you can see another as worthy. You must first see yourself as blessed before you can see another as blessed. You must first know yourself to be holy before you can acknowledge holiness in another. When you look at it, when we truly kind of allow that to come in, it makes perfect sense. The other way, the way we've been conditioned to do things, is putting the cart before the horse. And then we wonder why it's not really kind of walking right. It's being hindered because we're being back-asswards about relationships. So as we go into the meditation, and as we finish this whole kind of series on relationships, let us be willing to take responsibility for ourselves. And let us be willing to love ourselves each and every moment, to come to know ourselves more deeply, to move beyond the limiting ideas that we've been holding on to, all the negative beliefs. And let's be willing to rediscover over and over, to renew over and over our own self-concepts. So I invite you to join in the meditation. If you can, just sit back, close your eyes, allow your body to be in an open, receptive body position. And be conscious of your breathing. Breathe in through the nose if possible, and then breathe out easily, effortlessly. Allow the breath to be long and slow as comfortably as possible. If you're not able to sit back and close your eyes, you can still be conscious of your breathing as you breathe this meditation in and exhale it out, circulating it. So we begin by knowing that we, each of us, are one with life, with all its expressions. We are one of them. We are a unique individualization of the divine expression of life that we call God, created in image and likeness. We go forward now empowered. We go forward open and receptive to renewing our own self-understanding, our self-conceptualization. We go forward, open and receptive to coming to know ourselves more clearly, more deeply, as the divine knows us. So know these words, these expressions of truth, with the power of God in back of them. Know them as I speak them for each and every one of us in the first person. So right here and right now, I surrender to the fullness of life. Without knowing where I shall be led or where it is I get to go, I surrender, I yield, I make way for life to more greatly pour itself through me, express itself as me, and to simply be. So as I breathe in life in this moment, I am communing with life on all levels. The air that I breathe has come from so far away, and now it enters into me. And as I exhale, I give back. I impart myself within the very breath, within the very air that we breathe. So I am a part of life. I am one with it. And I'm willing to let it flow, to let it be, to move beyond the limiting ideas that I've thought were facts, and to let the deep truths that are already established within me, that in the back of my mind and heart I already know, I yield to them. I let them wash over my mind and heart. I let them be. So I'm simply opening up in this moment. Opening up to life. Opening up to love. Opening up to peace, to harmony, to joy. I'm simply opening up to who I really am. So it is as if I am looking out from a high vantage point and seeing how expansive I am, how I am more than my current understanding. And from this high vantage point, all the hurts, all the negative thoughts or feelings from the past, they no longer have any hold or any meaning. So I release them. I see that the past is simply my relationship to it, the meaning that I apply to it. So I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to remember it only as a series of events, but not as a definition of who I am or who other people are. I'm willing to know myself more greatly. And just by simply accepting that idea, that willingness, the whole world opens up. I'm willing to know who I am more than this moment, more than this current level of conceptualization, more than this I am. I am. So I breathe in this idea, this simple, empowering idea. I am more than this. So we breathe it in, we hold it for a moment, and we exhale, we let it be. I am more than this. Through no fault of my own, I'm willing to move beyond my limited understanding and know and express and seek out what is next. For I am more than this. I am more than this. I am more than this. Equally, I look upon all others in my life and I see them as more than they are. With responsibility, with wisdom, with beauty, with love, adoration, I look upon them in the same way. I see them as being more than this, just as I see myself as being more than this. So I am an empowering presence, and I am empowered. This empowerment is established within me, is known, is given when I express it. So I'm willing to let people be just as I let myself be. I am willing to be gentle with people, just as I am now willing to be more gentle with myself. Each of us is doing the best that we can, based on our current level of understanding. So I come from that. Come from that place as I interact, as I renew. So I now go forward, seeing that everything is a relationship. With people, with places, with things, with ideas. All is an expression of relationship. So I am willing to look upon each and every relationship in my life and to decide what it is that I wish to show up. What it is that I am willing to see, what it is that I choose to know. These are not intellectual choices. I am guided, I am supported, I am inspired by the divine within me, the divine all around me. So for all of this, I get to show up in a new way. I get to renew. And I get to gently leave behind that which is untrue, that which has never truly been. Perfect God, perfect life, perfect love, perfect being. I am established in this. I am already that. So I go forward knowing that I am already that which I am seeking. Already within me is the totality of truth. Each moment, it is awakening within me. Each moment as I show up, as I renew, I am creating complete who I am. A warped picture of him, to come that closer to knowing myself as the divine knows me. So I see them, each relationship, as an act of communion, as a holy endeavor, which allows me to unfold, which allows me to expand my understanding and expression, and allows me to simply be that which I am and have always been. So I'm grateful for the days ahead, for I know that I will rediscover what has always been. I will renew, I will expand, I will grow. And I know that I am supported in all ways, guided in all ways. The divine is always with me. And I am thankful for that. So for all of this, I say thank you. I'm grateful to life for being that which it is, supporting me, serving me, and me expressing it through me and as me. So I say thank you, Mother, Father, God. I am grateful for this opportunity to renew, to expand my understanding, to come to know myself more so than ever before as you know me, and to leave behind what has never been the truth. So I'm grateful for this opportunity to renew. And so I release these words, these expressions of spirit, where the truth is in back of them and goes on infinitely. I let them be, for they are complete and they are done. They now may serve the rest of the universe, for they have done their perfect work with me. My life now unfolds easily and effortlessly, established in perfect time, perfect place. So I am grateful. Thank you, Mother, Father, God. And so it is. Amen. So I welcome you back. Thank you so much for joining today, for being here. And I am grateful that we had this time to look at the way we relate to one another. All our relationships. Romantic ones, every single one, in a new way. So just as a reminder, I have been recording this show. I will upload it to our archive right after the show today, so it should be ready by 2:15, 2:30, if you'd like to download it. Just go to killradio.org, scroll down to the list of archives, and you'll see it has the most recent one. Again, that'll be around 2:15, 2:30. It takes a while to do it because it's a two-hour show. What else? Coming up next is the rebroadcast of Mondays Here. That show normally airs Mondays from 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. It's a show I do with another DJ called. We call him John Hirschfield. And it's a great show. Here is an all-submission show. Bands submit their music. They basically control our playlist. We have no quality control. We play it all. We have not played anything from a band. Came close once, but John awakened me to the fact that we have to play it. And I will say, overall, albeit this is a relative term, everything, 90% of what we've played has been very good. Thank you very much. And also, please check out when you go to killradio.org. Go to the link that says About Us. Check that out. You can learn about Kill Radio, what we're about. We're a non-profit, non-commercial, anti-corporate radio, internet radio station. These are our anti-corporate radios. We see that it is a limiting endeavor. It only seeks to express the message of that which they can profit by. And it leaves out so many people who have a message of equal importance, but perhaps you can't profit on it. Maybe you can't profit on a spiritual show or a show about spirituality. Maybe you can. But either way, it's not as if our radio waves are overwhelmed with shows about spirituality. They're out there, but they're not on commercial radio. So that is what we're about. And being that we are not for profit, you have the opportunity, if you'd like, to support us in whatever way you choose to. A great way to support us is through a donation. And you can see through our website, there's a link. If you go on the About Us page and scroll down, it says Donate to KR. It'll link you to our PayPal account, and you can make a donation there. Nothing is too small. No donation is too small. We make this station run in very little, and there's always opportunities to upgrade equipment. The equipment we have right now, as I look upon it, we've had for a while, and some of it doesn't even work anymore. So perhaps you can support us in that way. A financial donation goes a long way. If you're in Los Angeles, perhaps you can donate equipment. We're always in the need of a new CD player, especially the carousel kind. I'm looking at the one in front of me. I don't think it works anymore, but we still have it hooked up. So anyway, that is what we're about, and we would appreciate any support that you can give. So I thank you for even considering making a donation. Now, if you don't have a PayPal account, of course you can through our fiscal sponsor, which is Social and Environmental Entrepreneurs, and that information about how to send a check or money order to them is at the About Us link at killradio.org. So again, coming up next, we shall hear rebroadcast of Here. Then we'll go to music. And then coming up later today is the Independent Media News Hour, the IMC News Hour. So that's coming up at 4. So thank you so much. Of course, we normally broadcast from 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. If you have any questions, you can always email me at awakeningdaily@yahoo.com. Again, that's awakeningdaily@yahoo.com. And once again, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. You may not have said anything verbally, but we are all kind of united in divine mind. And so we got to contribute that way. Ask me how I know. If you've ever been a part of a meditation, it's amazing how we all get on the same page, even though one person is leading the meditation. This works the same way. So I'm going to end the recording now so that I can get us ready for uploading it. And then coming up next is Here, rebroadcast of Mondays Here. Thank you so much.